This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm so appreciative, and I'm just gushing, and that's kind of what's going to happen a little bit today in our service, is that just so much of God everywhere. I mean, everywhere I go, everywhere I look, everything I think about, I just run into God and His plan and His purpose in our lives and what God's doing. And it's just amazing. And I'll tell you, I've kind of, even more than normal, and I've unplugged and kind of get, where I'm not looking at the media and what's happening all around the world and the wars and the rumors of wars and the things that are happening, because you know all that stuff's constant. And so much that I see of what God's doing. And I'll tell you, it really hit me. And I was reading this last week, and I saw in the 15th chapter of Acts that, see, for the first 10 years of this movement that we call Christianity in the church, for the first 10 years, they only took it to Jews, for Jewish people. And you know, it was interesting because in Antioch, it's the first place that they called anybody Christians. We were referred to as Christians in Antioch because they weren't Jewish. And it hit me that these guys, for the first 10 years of Christianity, it was just the Jewish people who accepted their Messiah. So they stayed Jewish, because in the 15th chapter of Acts, these Gentiles and some pagans and some unbelievers, non-believers, they started getting saved and they started getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew Jesus and they knew who God was. And man, this whole thing and this fruit that was in their lives, it was amazing. And oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? And these Pharisees who'd gotten saved, these teachers of the law who made Jesus the Lord of their lives, received Him as the Messiah, they were like, wait a second, these guys have to follow after our law. They have to be circumcised. They have to join our feasts, the whole thing. And it's interesting because they're like, well, wait a minute. You know, these guys, they researched it. They said, these guys have the same and some better fruit in their lives than we do in ours. And here's what happened. They made a case one side for the other, and it got very, very, it was a huge battle amongst these early leaders of this movement that we refer to as Christianity now. And finally, James, the half-brother of Jesus, stood up and he said, you know, we're not gonna saddle those guys with the law or circumcision. Peter even said, look, we have a hard time obeying the law. Why would we force them into it? Jesus came to fulfill the law. And what's interesting is they said, we're not gonna impose that upon them. And here's what he came up with. Listen, he said, man, we're not gonna be about anything offered to idols. We're not gonna eat any food that's been strangled. We're not, no blood, no. And then he said this, and he said, we're just gonna love the Lord with all our heart. That's what we're putting on these guys. He condensed it into like a phrase. It was like, it took one breath. And you know, now when we think of church, man, a lot of you got, man, it's a building, it's a group of people, and the bottom line is, this is a movement of people. That's what God intended this to be. And you know, we back up to Matthew, the 28th chapter. And this is one of those other times where so much of who we are and what was said, it was in one, Jesus said it in one breath. And it's like, how can we not go live what he said in one breath? But in Matthew, the 28th chapter, in the 16th verse, it said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Underline or highlight in your Bible, had appointed for them. That there's a place that God appoints for us. And that's where the supernatural aspect and the genuineness of the church comes into play. See, this is holy ground. This is a sacred movement that that God is performing in our lives. And I think it's so important because I'll tell you that what happens, what God wants you to do is he wants you to go from knowing it to hearing it and knowing it, to have a knowing, and that knowing to become an intimate knowing where you understand. And then you have that understanding then go to revelation or the revealed knowledge of God where it's like, oh my gosh. And you know what? It gives you a lane to run when you hear things. And there's things, there's little pet things that I hear that just grieve me. Where God will, like something bad that's happening in somebody's life, somebody say, yeah, God did that to teach them. The Bible says this, good and bitter water don't come from the same well. The Bible says that a tree is judged by its fruit. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. If the fruit's good, the tree's good. Well, we don't serve a frenetic, schizophrenic God. We serve a God that's love, who does good things. There are none good but him. And here they were, and they all came together. And Jesus just, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But then the Bible says, and some doubted. Some, though, they held back, and they weren't sure about the worship part of it and extending themselves because it was too risky for them. And you know what? There's people in this room, it's just kind of risky for you. That's why I'll say, hey, underline that or write this down. Because you writing down a pertinent thought, there's no risk in that. And it's kind of that first little baby step to get the ball rolling. You know, it's risky. Like this was the here, raise your hand. Stand up, come to the altar. Those are real risky. And to the point where it's like, these guys expect too much risk from me in my entry step into Christianity in my life. So I stood in the back of the room and I saw these people, they were singing and dancing and it was love and it's giving it this and it's during the music and it's offbeat and it's ridiculous, it's goofy, I don't fit in, I don't like it. It's kind of disgusting. I'm at the back wall of the church and I'm leaning up against it just thinking, I don't fit. This isn't gonna work. I'm not gonna extend myself to risk for this. And then God spoke to me and said, are you gonna have the guts to serve me? Hence, 34 years later, our church is called Guts. And it's that simple, that one word from God on the back wall of that little frame Assembly got church by the railroad tracks in Warrenton, Missouri. And I'm standing there and here God calls me out and said, you have the guts to serve me. Now I'm gonna have to risk something. And let me just tell you, I'm by nature a risk taker. Yeah, let's go. But see, we've gotta look at this and we've gotta understand now that that's why God's given us the measure of faith, because this life now is all a risk. And it's not like a risk like the casino. We're not rolling dice. It's not the casino of God. It's the casa of God. It's the house of God. It's the security of God. See, and we've got to understand that God is the only sure thing on the planet. Absolutely. But see, what we've got to look at is that Jesus said this. Look, and some doubted. Some of them didn't want to take the risk, just like in this room. And you know what? Probably more who didn't than did of the 11 disciples. But you know, you look at it and Jesus said, now listen, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay, think about this statement. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he says this, he takes a deep breath and he says, therefore go. Making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age. Amen. And he finished his thought. Those guys sat there and they thought, wait a second. All authority has been given to you. Now you're commissioning me to go. See, because here's the key word. The key word is, I know there's a call in my life, and I know there's a gifting that God's placed on me to supernaturally fulfill the call that's on my life. Just like you, same thing can be said. But I think what's greater than all of that in the big scheme of things is simply the co-mission that we're on with God. That we've been commissioned, co-missioned. That I'm working, what I'm doing right now is I'm working this field with Him. Man, therefore go. We can't sit and hold pat. We have to risk in how we give and how we tithe and how we serve and how we invite and how we recruit and how we follow up. You know, there's a risk for you to invite someone to church and then to follow up with them. Because invariably, depending on where they sat, the music was too loud, or the person next to them kept burping, or man, this guy was, man, I'm sitting by this woman and she's rubbing her husband's bald head the whole time. I'm like, well, okay, whatever. There's a risk in following up with people. And trust me, I've heard it all. But the bottom line is, are we willing to take that risk? Are we willing? Because let me tell you, us following up with people, people that get baptized in here today, people that give their lives to the Lord, people that gave their lives to the Lord that last week. See, we're all waiting for a program in the church. And you understand that God didn't program the early church. You know what He said to them? He said, don't be about anything offered up to idols. Don't eat any strangled food. Abstain from sexual immorality. It's pretty simple. Follow Jesus. You go, I go. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Man, it's not even me. This isn't even coming from me anymore. It's Christ in me now. Oh my gosh. Man, it's not the inflection of our voice or the volume or therefore go. Making disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe every single thing that I told you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even in the end of this age. You say, man, we look at this. And you know what? When I read this, people start getting linked to it. Faces come up in my heart. God puts people in my heart. I called a pastor friend of mine this morning. I said, man, you've just been in my heart, and I was thinking about you. I thought I'd call you. His voice was cracking. He said, Bill, my daddy died 3 weeks ago. I said, oh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. He said, no. It was the lead story in all three of the networks. The headline the next morning was, a local legend goes home. He's just weeping, saying, my dad impacted so many people, visited so many people in the hospital, helped so many people change a flat tire on the highway, just reached out. And I'm just thinking about the risk that he took, social risks, relational risks. See, that's what happens. What happens when we don't want to risk socially, we don't want to risk relationships. Now, let's just go to the relational risk God is making with us. See, he didn't say, look, I know the old standard is, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. No, God made covenant with us. That's not just a relationship. And I know this is so relational, but you know what he did? Man, he threw the door open to the vault and said, whatever's mine is yours. Take what you need. All your needs met according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus is what God says. See, so now we have to look at this and we have to understand that Paul, looking at people in 2 Corinthians 10 and look at verse 15, where he said, look, And this is that chapter where he said, look, we don't compare ourselves among ourselves or commend ourselves with each other. We don't, man, it's not wise. It's foolish to compare yourself with other people. Because by and large, I'm the low man in the totem pole when it comes to preaching and teaching and leading and strategy. that most of my strategy is ready, fire, aim. And you know what? You know what that does? It attracts high-level people that are incredible with building a strategy on the hop and on the fly. And turning great things to, producing lemonade out of lemons and great things out of people. But I'll just tell you, he just said this, not boasting of the things beyond measure. Man, I can't boast in what I'm doing. This is far beyond what I ever thought would ever happen. That is, in other men's labors, I know the shoulders that I stand on to be able to see what I get to see. And I'm telling you, that's the key. You pick the right shoulders to stand on, you'll see great things. But having hope that as your faith is increased, see, this is a key. But having hope, it all starts there. It all starts, but having hope. But you know what? Man, too many of us have grown tired of church. We've grown tired of our church. Man, experiences you've had with church. Man, church hurt people. We visited with a woman, Sandy and I did, this past week. She found out we were pastors, and I'm telling you, started a tirade about church. I am not going back to church. I am not raising my kids in church. I want my kids to be spiritual. I don't want them to be religious. And I'm sitting, I'm thinking, oh, God, help us. Man, if you can't risk, you're going to hold back. You hold back, you're going to suffer offense. Man, all that, I'm going to risk relationally. I'm going to risk socially. Man, look at Jesus. He sat down with publicans and sinners and prostitutes, and he had meals with them, and he talked to them about the kingdom. And then he met with the Pharisees. And you know what he did? He quoted their laws. He spoke with such an authority they'd never heard it, and he told them about the kingdom. Man, God's way of doing things. Man, and then as our faith is increased, what happens is our sphere is enlarged. And people come to Jesus, and the sphere gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because people have great experiences with God. Man, if we can fill the room and people have a great experience and then get them to come back, why? Because there's another experience on the heels of that and another experience on the heels of that. And the next thing you know, we turn into people like I was 34 years ago, where I would move heaven and earth to be at church. I don't want to miss a service. Man, there were people all around that were living epistles that I could read these people's lives. They were open books. Simple people. Not looking for shortcuts. The only advantage that they had was who God was in their lives. Why? So that we could carry this gospel throughout our region, beyond our sphere. And that's why faith has to be increased. Hope has to be established. And we've just got to get stronger, trust in God. Man, how many of you guys worry or are worrisome? How many of you guys are anxious? The Bible says this, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because, man, we just have to trust God. Man, I've said this for 20 years that you have two choices. You can freak out or you can trust God. Man, we begin to trust God, our faith, because God's faithful all the time. God's faithful to his word no matter what, no matter how things look or how we perceive things. And again, deception is the strongest enemy of our lives. Man, David stepped into that creek bed. And let me just tell you, he didn't step into that creek bed as a warrior. Listen to me. He was not skilled. Goliath was the warrior. No, David stepped in that creek bed because he knew his God. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies my God? I'm going to kill him. He didn't go into battle Goliath. There wasn't any battle. He stuck that stone in the middle of his forehead, and Goliath dropped, and his body was twitching, so he lopped his head off. See, that's what we've got to understand. Listen, it was the only risk that he had was the only risk that David had was that he took his king's armor and became a warrior. That would have been a big risk. See, there's so many things that occupy our lives right now that defy our God. God's promised you health, prosperity, peace, and joy, fulfillment. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Man, do you understand? That's the bullseye of our church, is Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted, say it with me, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. One more time. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God's called us to flourish. The rest is just details. Man, boil it down. Therefore, go make disciples. Man, let's raise kids who love God. Let's establish homes that honor God. Man, let's honor people that don't deserve it. You know why? We're honorable. Man, we make this political. Man, if there's a Democrat in office, I'm not honoring him. He hadn't earned it. If there's a Republican over there, it's like, no, I don't trust him. No, we don't honor people because they've earned it. We honor people because we're honorable. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And you know what? When I start to worry, all I do is insulate him from leading my life. But you know what? When I trust God, when I trust his word, guess who begins to lead my life? Guess who becomes the center of my life? Christ and him alone. You know, it's A to Z in these services. There's people that you've served God for a long, long time. People that been in church on boards, planted churches, taught series, wrote songs, been a part of movements, but somehow got derailed a little bit. There's some of you that, man, you've never really had, really, listen, and my heart's about to burst, that you've never had that connected relationship with God ever. You've tried, you've faked it, it's been lip service, but it's never really been real in your life. Constant thoughts questioning if there is a God and who God is. I'll tell you, we're here for all of you. The Bible says it doesn't matter to say by many or by few. Doesn't matter who's in the room. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. All that we care about right now is here, now, to put you in a place. Listen, you're in that appointed place right now, that place of authority that God's planted you right now. And you know what? Therefore, go, making disciples. But we're not qualified. You got to go. Just remind them of everything I've said to you. I'll be with you. Oh, my gosh. But God, what would I say? God, there's so many people in their needs. And you know what? Jesus said, look, I'm with you every step, every word of the way.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.